It's Joy Krychek. Would you please welcome her this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Sean. Good morning. Some of that was true, most of it wasn't. Oh, it's good to be with you today, and man, what a privilege it is always to be with you and to share God's word. Oh, God is so faithful, and I have been given the theme today of living by faith. If I'm honest, I was kind of annoyed by this by this topic, and when I told my mentor and a couple friends, I got to speak on living by faith. And they're like, Joy, why are you, like, what is your problem? This is basically your life. And it's like, I don't want to get up there and just share stories and it make it look like it's about me. Like, this is going to be hard. And so today I'm going to be sharing some of my own life. But really, my heart is that as we look at scripture and as I share stories, or just my own journey of living, of trying to live imperfectly, but trying to live by faith, that God has been so good and he's taught me so many things along the way. And so even as I just share of, you know, at 8 years old, I remember just at my cousin's church kneeling down during a time of prayer. I've mentioned this before at different times, but just this desire to pray. It wasn't even like a sinner's prayer kind of thing that was led, but they had us all kneel. Maybe somebody just needed some quiet and was trying to get the kids to be calm or something, but we all were just kneeling down at our seats, and just out of my own heart, just what I believe that God was stirring in me at that ripe young age of 8, was just this prayer of, Lord, I don't know what it means, but I want to follow you all the days of my life. And I am so grateful for church and for the opportunity as a kid to hear about Jesus. And it's so important for us to be cultivating an atmosphere here that kids can hear and that teenagers can hear and that young adults and all the way up until the oldest person in the room has the opportunity to hear the invitation that Jesus is saying to come and follow me. And so as I share about this, it's just really interesting because I had to, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11 and a few different parts, and it's the faith chapter, and it's so powerful, and man, you could do a whole series on this. And I actually had an interesting experience as I was preparing for this of just actually remembering one of the first times that I was here at this church as a kid, going to children's church, and the series that Sister Ming was teaching on was Hebrews chapter 11. And I can remember as she was having us, she challenged us to learn a scripture, and my older sister and I, my two little sisters weren't born yet, but my older sister and I were in there, and I'm new to children's church here. I don't really know, but like, okay, she says this, and I'm a rule follower, so it's just like, okay, we got to learn this memory verse. So I come back the next week, and I'm like ready, like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's like, do we have to share it? What are we supposed to do? And then I figure out, like, oh, nobody else learned the memory verse. Like, I got this verse for free. You know, it's like, yay, I get to. And yet, it was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We'll read it later. It's in your notes if you want to look. But it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, or the version I learned back then was diligently seek him. And that verse really marked me. And just that there's this way to honor God. There is a way to pursue him, that there are abundant rewards. And honestly, I don't have a lot of earthly goods. But I can tell you from knowing Jesus from a young age that I feel very, very rich. I have a deep relationship with the Lord. He's been so faithful to me. And maybe I'm just silly or foolish, but I just keep coming back to him. I come back to him in the wrestling. I come back to him when it's hard. I don't lean back. I lean in. And I believe that that's a challenge for all of us. Not that I'm some amazing person, just that there is his word that is so powerful, and it's true, that when we believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him, there are promises in that. And I've seen him do such amazing, miraculous things. And it's not because of me, it's because of him. And so I can remember as a kid, just learning, you know, all about these amazing stories in scripture and coming here often and, man, all the time. It felt like, you know, just here all the time, especially when my parents were on staff here, and just really digging deep, having just a tender heart for Jesus. And I remember those Heroes of the Faith books. Did anybody read those? We used to have a library back here. I don't even know what happened to all those books that were here. But there were these Heroes of the Faith books that were around. And I remember like renting them from the library here and reading some of them. And some of them were about missionaries. And I was convinced at that point as a teenager that I would never become a missionary. And the joke's on me since that's been the story of my life. But I remember reading about George Mueller. He was an amazing missionary evangelist in the UK in the 1800s, and he ended up ministering to children, to orphans. And there were, I think the number is like over 120,000 orphans that he had the opportunity to minister to. And so there's just story after story of just these amazing provisions that God was doing. And one of them is just really pretty amazing, but rather stressful if you think about it on an earthly level, that, you know, there's all these kids that they're taking care of. And one morning, all the plates were set out and there was no food. And so what are you going to do when you've got kids to feed? Because as many of you would know, if you're not fed well, it's a lot harder to go to school and pay attention. And so they're all getting ready. They're all there. And he says, all right, well, we're going to pray and we're going to thank the Lord for the food that he's going to bring. And so he says a prayer, and then almost as soon as he's done praying, there's a knock on the door. And there is a baker that comes to him and says, I don't know what it is, but I just had this sense that you needed bread this morning. And so I got up. I couldn't get away from this sense that you needed food for the children today. And so I got up in the middle of the night and baked bread for you. And so here it is. And so they praise the Lord for that. And then there was another knock on the door as soon as he left. And it was the milkman. And he ended up telling them, it's like, my cart just broke down right in front of the orphanage. And I got to get rid of this milk so that I can, you know, fix the cart. So could you guys use the milk that I have? And so here we go. And the children had their breakfast in such a miraculous way, a way that we would probably be very stressed out by, but you know, it's comfortable to go to the store and have enough money and be able to pay for your stuff and to feel empowered, like I can do this myself. And yet God is often challenging us to live by faith and to trust him in a way that is uncomfortable. And I will tell you, my life has been very uncomfortable as I have had to keep trusting in God, keep being dependent on him. But I just thought, man, people like George Mueller, all right, this is what it is. And Lord, I want to be a person of extraordinary faith. I remember praying that in my own naivety as a teenager, just like, Lord, I want to be someone that sees you do incredible things. The problem is I didn't have enough insight at that point that in order to be seeing miraculous things, you've got to be in kind of uncomfortable, difficult situations. I've seen God raise thousands of dollars for anti-trafficking work that I have participated with overseas. I've seen him be faithful to just put it on somebody's heart to give and to partner with me, which is so incredibly humbling. And yet this is what God is doing when you're, okay, Joy, I'm sending you overseas and I want you to go into these dark places and minister to people who need to be seen, you need to bring the church, the light to them. Well, that's a little bit uncomfortable when you're out late at night and when it's cold in France and you're in the snowy areas. And, you know, some people don't really want to talk to you at 11, 12 o'clock at night as they're in prostitution. And they're like, who are these women and what are they doing here? And we're smiling and here to, you know, ready to give coffee and tea and pray with them and minister to them. And it's like all these different ways, seeing God's provision in financially, seeing him give us the courage and the strength to minister in very, very dangerous areas at times, and yet him bring his protection, and yet him minister in incredible ways and touch hearts. We have to sometimes be in uncomfortable situations if we're going to see him do amazing things. And so today, as we jump into God's word, I want you to ask yourself, am I really living by faith? This isn't out of fear or shame or anything, but I believe that it's an invitation. It's always an invitation that God is saying, will you trust me? There are areas in your life that you are not trusting him. There are areas in my life that he is still growing me in so that I will trust him. And so the question is, which part does God want to work on today in your heart, in your life? Because he's calling you to more. He's calling you to a deeper walk with him. He's calling you to see and be used for miraculous things. And yet, it might be a little bit uncomfortable. And so if we're going to be really looking and kind of wondering, okay, living by faith, what is faith? Like, what is that? That's the first step that we need to go to, especially if we're looking at Hebrews 11. And so when you're looking at this chapter, I mean, the whole letter is really encouraging the church to endure. He's really challenging them to keep going, to hold on to their faith in Jesus and showing them, look at the Old Testament. Look how this corresponds. Look how Jesus is the one that we can trust. And he's trying to help them understand the righteous live by faith. You need to endure. And so chapter 11 is basically like a treatise on faith. And so in this first part, he gives us a little understanding of what faith is. And so if you look at verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. All right, let's unpack this a bit. It says that now faith is confidence. In some versions, it's going to be, it's a substance. It's something, it's like a confirmation. It's like the title deed, or if you want to think about it, it's the foundation. And so it's this present tense thing. I'm holding on to something. I have faith in something that helps me have hope for the future. And so in some sense, in a poor metaphor for this, you know, when you get that confirmation email saying that you are booked on the flight in 2 months, you've got this email guaranteeing that you are going to get on that flight. This is your proof that you paid and you get to be on that flight in 2 months. And you know what? We've got this expectation. We have a confidence that the airplane's going to be there, hopefully, that we're going to go and this is going to work. But if you were one of the casualties like I was last Christmas with Southwest Airlines, you found out very quickly that confirmation didn't mean a lot. And you weren't going to be able to go anywhere the week of Christmas because of just a lot of issues there. And yet, the thing is that when we're looking at faith as an assurance, as a confidence, we're having a foundation on what God has said. It's trusting that what God's promises about who he is true, and that gives us hope for what's to come. And so in this sense, there is this idea of faith being not something that just, oh, we just blindly do. It's not that, okay, you get to stop thinking as soon as you come into church. No, you need to use your brain. You need to assess what's true. You need to make sure that you understand what's going on. You need to look at God's word. You can assess what other religions say, and you get to determine what you're going to believe in. And that's an important part, that we use our reason and our understanding to decide, with God's help, what is true. And so really, faith, if we're thinking about it in conjunction with our reason, it helps us understand that what we see here is not all that there is. That there is a spiritual world that helps us make sense of what we see so much more than just than just if there was only what we see with our five senses. See, faith helps us make sense of things. And really, faith is our response to what God has said in Scripture. It takes seriously the message that God has revealed in Scripture. And it's agreeing with God and then responding and an action that comes along. And if I were to simplistically say this, I'm referencing certain things that different, you know, very smart theologians are talking about. But really what this is, it is trusting and it is following. It's determining that what I'm putting my trust in is worthy of that trust and then following what he says. Trusting and following. Somebody says it this way, faith is a constant outlook of trust towards God, where we as humans, we relinquish the reliance on our own efforts and put our confidence in him, in his word and his promises. You see, trusting God means that we're trusting him to be Jehovah Jireh, that he is our provider. You see, you are not your provider. You might think that you are. You get to partner with God with your job and with the way that you might be able to earn money and all of that. But you are not your provider. God is the one who is blessing you with the talents and the gifts and the favor to do what you're doing. God is the one that, for some people, he sends checks in the mail. I can remember somebody while I was itinerating and raising support to go overseas, that there was this wonderful old woman at a church, and she was talking about just her faith in Jesus throughout the years. And she just ended up saying, you know, long ago, I just started praying the Lord would send checks in the mail. And you know what? Several years ago, it started to happen. He sends checks in the mail and I'm always taken care of. And, you know, again, that might be unusual. That might be different, an unusual prayer to pray. But God has answered her prayer and has provided for her in very unique ways. And so the question for you is, are you trusting that God is your provider? Or are you really stressed about the work layoffs that are coming? Are you really concerned about what am I going to do to provide for my family? The thing I want to challenge you with today is the reminder that you ultimately are not the provider. It starts with God. And then we get to partner with him. And if you get let go of a job, you can trust that he's still going to be faithful and he's going to provide. It might be in ways that are uncomfortable initially, but then trusting that he's going to help you find and do what he's asking you to do to find another job. You see, there's this level of confidence and commitment. And what I love about this is that one way to look at faith is really saying, all right, I'm hitching my wagon to God. I'm deciding that what he says is true. And so now that means that his words, his promises apply, and his value system. And so what it is I'm putting my life under his guidance, his control, and his leading. And so what that means is when I want to do something and it's in contradiction to God's word, it means that we have to do some wrestling. We have to figure out, all right, Lord, how do I handle these desires in my heart? How do I handle these urges that I have? What are you asking me to do, God? Because this doesn't feel like what I want to do. And yet we're putting ourselves under his value system, trusting that he is good and that he is faithful and that his boundaries and limits for us are for our own good. And so when he says no to something, it's not to be mean. It's not to be unkind. It's to actually protect and help us. And that can be hard when we're wrestling. That can be hard, but that is part of what trusting and following is all about. And so the next question is, well, how can we please God? If we know that, okay, it's about trusting and following, we want to use our brain, we want to see what he's saying and do it, how can we please God? Verse 6 in chapter 11 says, and without God, it is impossible to please him. Is it impossible to please God? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is yet again an invitation to know him and to know what he loves. You see, we can't please him without faith. And so in order to have that faith, we got to believe two things according to this scripture. We need to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the first one, we have to understand that he exists. That takes us we got to think about some things. We have to understand who he is and is it true? And so in this wrestling, I love it. I love that you can ask him to show you. I love this story that is about listening to the Holy Spirit, and I'm just briefly sharing it, but I can remember this lovely story of a guy who was trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I'm just trying to be obedient to just his leading throughout the day. And he ended up being, I think it was at an airport, and he felt like the Lord said to go over to this like soda machine or something and actually to do a handstand. And that felt very strange, and it's like, man, this is like listening to God's stuff is really hard. Like, I'm not sure what this is about, but this doesn't seem accurate here. And he kept feeling this like tug to do this, and I was like, okay, let's just go over there and do this handstand. And so he did it. I'm impressed that he could do it. If the Lord told me to do that, it would not be happening because I don't think I can do it. But he ends up he does this, and then this man comes over to him. And it's just like, what are you doing? And so he's like, oh, great. I'm now in trouble. And so he just senses like, I just need to be honest. And so he tells him, well, I just felt like the Lord was telling me to do this. And so the man was shocked because he had actually just told God that if you're real, I want somebody to come over here and do a handstand right by this machine. And you know, praise God for obedient people who are living by faith so that the unusual request like that might be answered on at least on occasion. But man, living by faith and then finding out, you know, through an unusual circumstance, this guy learned, oh, he is real. He does speak. He can be. He does exist. I need to find out more. And so we have to trust that he's real. And then we have to trust that when you come to him, that he's going to reward you, that he loves it when you come. And ultimately what this is saying is he not only exists, but he's generous. He wants you to come to him. He loves it when you come to him. He likes it when you ask him for things. He is pleased when you approach him with what's on your hearts. He knows already when you're mad at him. And you can tell him about it. And you might as well tell him because then you could listen to hear what he wants to say about what you're frustrated about. And so there's something so beautiful about this, that this is an invitation for you to spend time with the Lord and to listen to him. That's part of just living by faith. And in addition, it pleases his heart when you know he exists and he rewards those who are on mission with him, who give generously. And I know that there was, you know, mention about missions pledges and that supports. And I want to challenge you, if you haven't made a pledge yet, ask the Lord what he wants you to give. Because he is so honored that you would partner with him. He loves that. He loves it when you have a heart for people. And so there's this reality that when we are in just walking with him, really another way to say this living by faith is just a continual surrender of yes. Yes, Lord. You want me to quit my teaching job after 3 years and go to seminary? Yes, Lord. And I did. And then when he asked me to come back here and be an associate pastor with my family at their church, I said, yes, Lord. And then he asked me to go overseas. And I said again, yes, Lord. Like, that is the simplicity of this. It's we just keep saying yes. We keep honoring him and trusting that he is there and he wants to partner with us. And so finally, I just want to look at one example in Hebrews 11, the story of Abraham. There's so many. There's Enoch in here. There's Abel. There's Moses. But I want us to spend just a few moments on Abraham. And so I want you just to read this with me. It should be up on the screen. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Abraham is this hero of the faith who kept saying yes to God. Now, I would like to put this in context. I don't know how many of you are nearing the age of 75, or maybe you have passed, but imagine that God has said at 75 years of age, hey, I want you to get out. I want you to go. I'm calling you to a new place, and that would be a lot at any age. But how about at age 75? That would be kind of an interesting call, wouldn't it? And yet, that is exactly what happened for Abraham. At 75 years old, God said, go. And he did. Now, the challenge to this that you can see here that he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. So imagine this. God tells you, you're going to leave. Okay, where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. How would you do with that? That would be a little bit stressful, at least for me, because I like to know where I'm going. God just gives me like little portions. All right, this is what's next, because that's all. I will get too comfortable in knowing the plan, and that's just how he works with me. But could you imagine having to just leave your home, pack up, and go, and just on your way? He's going to tell you when you get there. And then he gives you another promise, actually, that once you get there, hey, this is going to be your land. Wow, Lord, how is that going to happen? Oh, I'm going to tell you later about that, okay? Just keep going. And, you know, and so they lived in tents and were basically like foreigners in a different land. And I don't know, a lot of you are from the area and some of you aren't. But I don't know that you understand if you've lived here for a long time or if you haven't lived in another country before. But everything is different in another place. You know, things that you take for granted, like going to the supermarket and just the normal customs of how all that works, it's usually different. I can remember needing help at the supermarket in France really early on. And so I see somebody that's working here and I go and I say, excuse me, and in French. And I'm, you know, going to ask a question. And the woman immediately says, bonjour. And I was like, oh, right. Like, I forgot that I was in France. You always have to say hello before you say excuse me. Otherwise, you are very rude. And so this woman wanted to teach me that cultural lesson right in that aisle at the supermarket. I was like, oh, bonjour. And then started on excused myself and asked the question. But these little subtle things like going to the post office or how fast you can drive in an area, or even that it's illegal to drive to honk your horn in cities and villages in France. And, you know, you got to learn all these things when you're in a different place. And so Abraham was not only sent somewhere where he didn't know he was going to go, then he had to live in tents like a foreigner, not really knowing, wow, there's a lot of people here and some of them are not very nice. And, you know, Abraham didn't always do the right thing here. He was somebody that God honors for his faith, but he really messed up several times. And that gives me great comfort because I can be trying to live by faith and messing up as I go, which I have. And the Lord is still faithful and he's still helping me steward that faith that he has placed in there. And so there is something about this that is like, man, this is uncomfortable to be a foreigner. It's uncomfortable to be following God when we're not, you know, just in control of everything because we really want to be in control. And so we find this here that really Abraham was able to go out to a place that he didn't know because he knew who he was going with. God was going to be with him. And that is what we can hold on to no matter what God is calling us to, that you know who you're going with. And then he promises at 75 as well, you're going to have a child. How is that going to work? I'll tell you later, or I'll let you know when it's important. 25 years later, that's when that promise gets fulfilled. And yet he and Sarah believed that even though they were both basically good as dead in the fertility department, that it was possible. Living by faith is trusting and following. It's saying yes and living that surrendered life. But it's also really God calling us away from certainty and security over and over and over again. You see, it got comfortable where I was in France. And then the Lord was like, okay, now it's time to go back to the States. And now we're going to become a therapist so that you can help better with the trauma part of working with people in prostitution. And so now you're going to have to trust me there. And then we're going to be here. And then, all right, and then I'll send you on your next assignment after you're fully licensed. And you're going to find out where that is when I tell you. And so there's this place of, all right, where is my security? I always have security, but it is not in the normal places. It is really only in him. And so, and it's not really fun all the time to be in that place. Yet even in the challenges, God is calling us to go where he's saying to go. And the question is, where or what or to whom is God calling you in this season? It might not look like my life, but there is a call that God is speaking to each one individually. And the question is, will you trust and follow? Will you say yes? And will you go even when it's uncomfortable? We sing that song sometimes of, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. I don't really like that song, I'll be honest, because we sing that in the comfort of our like little happy moments. We're like, yes, God, take me deeper. Yes, take me to those deep waters. But really what we're really saying when things get really hard is actually, Lord, let me still be on the sandy shore. Let me the water only be up to my ankles and let it be warm but not too hot. And I want to feel firmly planted, and the waves can be really far over there, and so that I don't have to be scared, or I don't want to be like doggy paddling in the ocean trying to feel like, what are we doing here? Where are we going? Like, this is not, when things get tough, you start to think, whoa, these are deep things that we're singing about. And am I really willing to be uncomfortable like that? And yet God has a way of sending us into those places. And the answer is just to say, okay, Lord, you're here with me. What are we doing? Where are we going? And so, as we finish today, you are God's representatives on the earth. And so what's your part of the mission? What are you living for? Is there something that you need to be releasing to him? Is there an area that he's saying, I'm trying to get your attention here, and you haven't been listening? Or are you feeling like you're in those deep waters, and you're like holding on, and I'm here to encourage you to say, keep walking with him. He is with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the faith journey is anything but easy, and yet you are so faithful. God, I have seen you touch lives in such miraculous ways and come through in the nick of time in so many just amazing ways, and I want to say thank you for that. But I also am asking that you would help us. Help us to live by faith. Help us to surrender our control, our imaginary control, really, Let us release this to you and walk in a way that is showing the world around us that you are real and that you reward those who diligently seek you. And God, I just pray your blessing over this congregation. I pray for everyone listening online, God, that you would come in such a deep and rich way, that you would stir their faith, Lord, to keep walking, to keep going. And if anyone doesn't yet know you, Lord, that you would, they would seek, they would ask you to show them that you're real, that you would show them in such a unique way, and that, God, you would reward each one in here and online for seeking you this week, for listening and for saying yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. As we finish today, I do want to invite the elders to come up, and if you're needing prayer, you can come up and seek that prayer from the elders as well. This is just a time now just to linger. There's some questions on the paper with the notes that you can just reflect on. But really, if you need to go, you're free to leave now. But if you'd like to linger and just listen to the Holy Spirit, ask him, what are you wanting to speak to me today? And we do just invite those of you that want to chat and have good conversations, just you can do that outside. But let's just linger here for a little bit and listen to what the Lord has. God bless you. Thank you.
need you now. How I need you now. Is to take that step. What area of our lives, God, are you asking for us to step out of this boat to say yes? You're not asking us to go all the way. You're asking us to take that step. And it might be hard. It might be difficult. It might be unknown. But I know, God, that's where you want us to be, because that's in dependence of you. Are in dependence of you, Lord. You will lead us. You will guide us. And we can trust in you, Lord. I'm so thankful that we can trust in your leading. I pray, Father, as we go today, God, we begin to act out those things that you're speaking to us, that we would trust your word, your voice in our lives. And may you be glorified, God, as we go today, that others might see your glory as we serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name.